Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your great family and gave me new hope, said that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding he still cares, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart, and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. When I think of my Lord and how he bought me, I think of his blood and how he sought me, and my blessings are more numerous than the stars up above. I am constantly aware of his love, constantly aware that he is everywhere, and my soul there is no fear, for I know he's always near. And in my heart there's contentment, like a piece of a dove. I am constantly aware of his love. And now when the storm clouds of life around me rages, then I just cling to the mighty rock of ages. And to my soul he whispers sweet peace from heaven up above. I am constantly aware of his love, constantly aware that he is everywhere. And my soul there is no fear, for I know he's always near. In my heart there is contentment, like a piece of a dove. I am constantly aware of his love. Now when the storm clouds of life around me rages, then I just cling to the mighty rock of ages. And to my soul he whispers sweet peace from heaven up above. Oh, I'm constantly aware of his love, constantly aware that that he is everywhere. And my soul has no fear, for I know he's always near.
And in my heart there's contentment, like the peace of a dove. I am constantly aware of his love.
I will put my trust in Jesus as I lay upon his breast. I will take my comfort from him. I will find in him sweet rest. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. All pain will leave my aching body as His sweet healing flows. Demons tremble at His presence. In Jesus' name they have to go. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. Then one morning in that city, I will rise to sleep no more. In God's presence live forever. All sin and death will then be yours. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. For there is no other fountain where I can be more satisfied than in the arms of Christ my Savior. No blessing I will be denied. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, then you will know. Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin. And there's not a thing with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant or sow. But they're fed by the Master, who watches them grow. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew. And he's not too busy to love me and you. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He consider the lilies, then you will know. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
It's exciting about the Lord. He's mm-hmm. always moving on.
That's right.
I get bored very easily. But with the Lord, it's never boring. Mm-hmm. Always moving ahead. Man, it's medicine and a system for mm-hmm. all your life. Mm-hmm. Nothing new.
That's right.
Same old rotten old sermons.
Same stagnant water.
Oh, man. People.
That's what's wrong with a lot of people, is stagnant water.
Yeah.
Like healing can, and nothing can flow if there's, the water doesn't run. If the truth doesn't march on, it's just a stagnant old water. And the, what can happen in stagnant water? Just diseases. That's what where diseases come from.
Mm-hmm. The Lord, he's got everything all figured out, but you know, put it all together. But the devil is there to detour them. Mm-hmm. Got a little something here. Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Just a little something here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. We'll start in 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. This is just kind of a short scripture here. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We keep seeing it over and over again that you brought us out of this religious captivity, out of Egypt, out of spiritual Egypt, spiritual darkness, Lord. And you set our feet on the solid ground and freedom, giving us freedom here in the closing days of time where everything is all about religiology. And Lord, we just pray you'll help me understand. Expound on it here, word, forgive us of our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Kind of a strange thing, but you know, Brother Branham used to say, don't go before the Lord before you first have not asked him to forgive you of your sins. And when you sing these songs, you love these songs, these German songs, it's all about asking the Lord for forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, because we're born in sin, we're shaped in mm-hmm. iniquity, we come into this world speaking lies, and somewhere along we're going to defile ourselves. Just that simple. We're human beings, and we got to be humble enough to admit when we mess up, we have to ask the Lord to forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, we could get a little personal, and we could hold it against these Hutterites and these Tugging and these zealots for the way they treat us, but they're not doing it to us. When you realize it, they're really not personally doing it to us. They're doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. That's why it's so easy for us to forgive them, because like I say, they're doing it to the Lord. They're luring it to the truth. It's all about truth. And that's why they're treating us the way they treat us, because we've been honed out to stand for truth. That's our mission in life, to stand for truth. And no matter what they call, just continue to step up to the plate and stand for truth. If it's truth, once I saw it in the scripture, I didn't care what they do to me, because I already know what they're going to do to me. And so that's why I say, forgive us of our trespasses, because we got too many to mention. And as we forgive them, see, like I say, it's a lot easier when you realize they're not doing it to us. Like John the Baptist, when he was in the prison, he was kind of a little bit discouraged. He's done all these great, marvelous things, and now he ends up in prison. And he sent his disciples to Jesus. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? Are you the one that's supposed to come? Because he was really down in the dump. He was very discouraged, and rightly so. And Jesus said, John, you're in that prison because of me. You're not in there because you're in there because you're standing up for truth. You're standing for me, and the reason you're in there is because of me. And then he went on to say, blessed is he that's not offended in me. And see, you and I, we're put in the outs because the very same reason why John the Baptist was in that prison. We're in the outs from these religions, from these organized religions. And that's why it's so easy to, we can forgive them. Mm-hmm. We can just carry on with life. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord's going to deal with them, because he said, vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay. There's a day coming when I'm going to hold these people that do a number on you guys. I'm going to hold them accountable. As he said, vengeance is mine. That's the way Jesus did it, and that's the same way Stephen did it when he stoned him. He says, yeah, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Stephen said, don't hold this charge against them. And we can say the same thing, because we see the spirit behind it. Behind it, these Hutterite preachers and these people in the pulpit, is strictly the spirit of Satan. And we can say it with truth and with spirit and truth, because we went through the torture chambers and we know exactly what it's about. We know exactly what we're talking about. And we can truly say, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing when they're putting us in the outs. And they, I could do a lot of complaining, but there's no point in it, because Jesus said, the way they treated me, that's the way you're going to be treated. Don't expect a bed of roses, like the song. Mm-hmm. Should we be going to glory in a bed of ease and a bed of roses, while others have fought to win the prize and had to go through bloody seas? Well, it's kind of very mannerless.
Yeah.
Thinking you can just go through life on a bed of roses and then expect to have it. Royal end there on the other side. You got to go through what they all went through. And see, we've accepted that we've, this is part of the freedom, that we're free from these religions.
That's
and
right.
No matter what you have to go through, it's worth the price. It's worth everything to come out of that Egyptian bondage and to be completely free from the religiosity. That early church, I tell you, they for about 100 years or so, man, they had it good. They were just grateful. They were just grateful to the Lord that He would do that for them, that He give them salvation, and that they had access to that glorious to salvation.
That's right.
The heathens, they really knew how to praise the Lord back in the day. But they didn't have any hang-up.
Mm-hmm.
That Antichrist still hadn't found a footing in there. He didn't know how to navigate.
That's right.
And these people were so happy and glorious, and that's where the Lord is bringing up to that. Was the ministry of Brother Branham, to take us back to that early church. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet to turn us back to the early church, to the faith of our forefathers. You get that whole package. Like I keep saying it over and over again, we're the most blessed two people on planet Earth, because we have come out of these Egyptian darkness, out of these religiology, and the Lord set us feet on the solid ground, And there's nobody that has it better than you and I have it, because, I mean, spiritually speaking, now we have joy unspeakable, full of glory, simply because we have disconnected ourselves from that religiology out there. I call it religious filth. You can call it what you want. You can name it whatever you want. But I know how deadly it is, that religiology, because behind it is the spirit of Satan. I saw the spirit of Satan behind it. And I couldn't eat and sleep for 3 days. It affected me so much. Mm-hmm. I saw the reality of that spirit that's behind it. But see, Satan has blinded the minds of the people. The God of this world has blinded the minds and the hearts of the people, that the glorious light of the gospel cannot come true. And we're just two people that are completely free from all that religious filth out there. They don't like us when we call it like that, but we have no other way to call it. Because I keep saying, when you go over the other side, you find yourself down in hell, and you found yourself on the wrong side, on the wrong side of the fence. And then you're going to look back, and you're going to see that all we tried to do was try to set people free. We tried to tell people the truth. And right now, you'll think, oh, you're crossing the line. You're these holy people in the pulpit. You're talking bad about them. But when you get over there on the other side, you'll say to yourself, I wasn't verbally enough. Just like that rich man down in hell. He had only one passion, only one desire. Send somebody back there and warn my brothers that are going to the same place I'm going to. And that's all we're doing. We had a man come to our house. That Bob keeps saying it. Keep referring back to him. And I was sitting right in front of him. I saw his lips tremble. I saw the tears in his eye. I saw the agony. I saw the horror what that man must have been through when he realized he's on the wrong side of the fence. And he cried out to the Lord to give him another chance. And he came back, and he was dead for 17 minutes or something. And he came back, and in the rest of his life he spent trying to warn the Hutterite, that is not a good place. That Hutterite thing is nothing but deception. And I get that picture but before my eyes for 15 years. And you might wonder, how come you're speaking so plain? I see that picture. I woke up many a night with it. In a cold sweat, realizing, here I'm doing, I'm sitting here in this colony, I'm not doing nothing for the Lord. Just like him, he finally woke up, but the grace of God, he let him come back, give him his life back, and then in 2 months' time, he was back onto the road, and he had only one passion, to warn people that other thing is nothing but first-class deception. Now you wonder why we're talking so plain. Because that picture is still before my eyes when I seen his lips tremble. I seen that the agony, the horror, the nightmare that he practically almost didn't escape. He just cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave him his chin back, and that's all he did for the rest of his life. After that, he lived for another 3-4 years, and all he did, he went around, that was his main theme, go around and tell people that other right thing is deception. Mm-hmm. And here we're speaking the drums for 40 years already, and what did they do? They put us in the house for telling them the truth, because behind it is the spirit of Satan. That's all Satan knows to do, is when you come by him, when you tell him the truth, he has only one thing, to try to put you out of commission. Tell people, don't listen to them two guys, they're crazy. We had a man come back from the dead to tell us that. And here all we're doing, we're just repeating what he said. We're just keeping it alive. And they're not gonna shut us down, because that's our job. And here in this closing day of time, the Lord gave us this commission to tell people the truth, to continue to tell the truth, to tell them what happened in the church age of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. Anything outside of that, it's nothing but filth. Religious filth, a waste of time, because like I say, you gotta go over on the other side and look back what's gonna happen. Down in hell, they're screaming their heads off because if they don't accept the truth for the day, they're all going down there. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. Nothing we can do. We can only just warn people. God knew our makeup. God knew who we are. That's why he gave us that commission. He knew we're not gonna allow ourselves to be intimidated from what people say or think, and that's why I keep saying it's so easy for us to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The God of this world has blinded their reasoning. They don't even stop and think. Maybe we should listen to what they have to say. Maybe we should step back and make, maybe they are onto something, because it seems to work out for them. Mm-hmm. They got everything. They like it says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you, shaken down, pressed together, running over. That's the way you and I live. We really are true community because true good mindset. Because he said, he'll send that Elijah to turn us back, and we're going to live exactly how that early church operated. We got community of goods. We got everything. We got everything we need. None of them said that had any need. You and I, we have no need whatsoever or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't even give you my visa. You have my visa. You can go down to Canadian Tire. You can buy whatever you want. You can go to the store and buy whatever you want. And the thing of it is, we don't want nothing. And we don't even got a simple lifestyle, just enough to eat and a place to sleep. That's really all we need, because the Bible says if you got food and raiment, just be content to it. That's the simple, that's the way you and I live. We got it all. And then we got the spiritual end of it too. We got the truth for your day, and we're off to the races. Mm-hmm. And like I say, we really have it good. But see, you gotta have everything. You got to have your ducks lined up. Mm-hmm. You have to have first things first. Mm-hmm. And that's right. The way you and I live. We got true good mindset. I got my bank account, you got your bank account, but really, we all together. If I need money, I did, back in the day, I needed to borrow money, and I borrowed money from you so I could go buy a truck and then vice versa. We got all our finances together. Nobody had any lack. You don't have any lack, and I don't have any lack, simply because we sought first the kingdom of God. We heard that voice from that prophet. The old Lord sent Elijah the prophet to turn us back to the apostolic faith of their fathers. Yeah. That's the way you and I live. And now, this morning, we need to just learn, like Brother Brenner said, before you approach the Lord, you first need to examine yourself, see if you have got anything, and then you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and then you're off to the races. It's just a natural thing to do. That's because right. We're along the road of life, one way or another, we're going to defile ourselves with your thought, you know. Just maybe a thought will come to you when you meditate on that thought, which is in itself a sin already, because the Bible says if you lust after a woman, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. These are the things that people take for granted. That's why we try to keep ourselves to a place where we can actually approach the throne of God, and without having all these defilements on us.
Yeah, and the devil likes to make everything complicated. Every system of religion does that. They focus on something, and people lose sight of the simplicity of the gospel. It's very simple. When God restored, the just shall live by faith. The just. Who are the just? Those who have been justified by faith with God, just like it says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nun wir denn sind gerecht geworden durch den Glauben. See, we've been justified through faith. Mm-hmm. So haben wir Frieden mit Gott durch unseren Herrn Jesus Christus. It's just that simple. It's just faith. And you believe what Jesus did for us at Calvary, and something starts happening in your life, and the Holy Spirit came to the Comforter to convict the world of sin. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, that he convicts that person of their sin, and that's a wonderful attribute, because you know, without that you would think you're okay, but you want to be justified with God, and then you want to make yourself, you want to be made right with God. And that's why it says, in Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. See, he's still living in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Even though we're still in this carnal makeup, like you said, you're going to sometimes mess up. You're going to, something's going to befall you, in your pathway, and you're going to sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that's why, people beat themselves up when they do something wrong. But mm-hmm. we have an advocate with the Father. That's why Jesus came, because he knew we couldn't do it on our own, because we are a sinful creature. We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and there's nothing righteous in any of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And some people think, we know this guy, he's always talking about these five senses. We're not controlled by the five senses. But he almost has it in a wrong perspective, you know, almost like if he tells himself he's not governed by the five senses, then no matter what he does, it's not going to be considered as sin. Mm-hmm. But it is, you know. He has this...
The five senses are the problem.
That's right. He has this wrong concept about... he doesn't understand the carnal man, that he's still in the flesh. He's still in that human body, and you don't want to be controlled by it. That's why Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, mm-hmm. you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why you always have to walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill these things. But there's something I want to read here. When the Lord saves you, and then you become his, like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you are now living for, you're no longer living for yourself. You want to live for him, and you want to be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ because of all he's done for you. Mm-hmm. And you want to be used for his glory now, and do the things that he wants you to do. If he wants you to go speak to somebody and rebuke or correct or whatever, it's all part of the ministry. It says in John 7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I'm testifying about it that its deeds are evil. And that's what people, it's not you as a person that they hate, but the testimony that you have in your life about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ had to come and to be crucified for our sins, and had to take upon himself our sins on the cross of Calvary, and that convicts a person in like a sinner man, it convicts them, and then the right away, the natural attribute is to hate that person. Mm-hmm. But it hates that conviction that they feel. Mm-hmm. They're being convicted of sin, of evil, because that's who we are. And if they don't acknowledge that and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, then there's always going to be that animosity going on. We're told to forgive our enemies, you know, and to love our enemies. And in that, somehow, God can make a way maybe to shine light in their lives, you know, and they start reflecting upon their deeds and repent.
The Bible says there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you move on. And the truth keeps moving on. And there's a lot of garbage that you have to see. Just because you're born again, you still got to shed all that stuff,
right.
All that Egyptian stuff that mm-hmm. you accumulated for yourself over the years. You got to slowly, bit by bit, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you just got to keep shedding it and shedding it. But the minute you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bound for glory. But you got all these hang-ups, all these fleshly desires, like that guy said. He more or less ignored his... You're really not living in your five senses. You just ignore them, and then they don't exist. That's not the way it works. You got these five senses that lead you out to hell and death if you let them. That's why you got to fight against the flesh. And that's why it says, mortify the deeds of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe what I'm saying, just go in a fast for 3 days and just drive down the street and you're controlled by that those 5 cents, and you see that hamburger out there on that billboard, and you drive by the Burger King, and you can smell it. Those are your 5 cents luring you into eating. Like I see, you go on the fast for 3-4 days, you'll find out what I'm talking about. And many times I'd be fasting, and I would try through Georgia. They got these billboards about this buffet and all that food out there. And like regular going, you don't notice it. But when you're fasting, you know that the devil takes your 5 senses and he multiplies on them. That hamburger is really a lot better than it really is. And then sometimes you cave, sometimes you give in, and then you eat that hamburger. It really wasn't all that good. All it was behind. I was the spirit of Satan using your senses to drag you over into hell and death. And if you made, that's why I say, if you walk in that thing, children, don't sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he continues on to say, don't walk in it. Like, don't make it a continued lifestyle. Just stop, think for a bit, and ask the Lord to forgive you. And go on, and don't go back there to these dumpster places anymore. Just carry on with the Lord, because there's now no condemnation, and them that are in Christ Jesus, but you got to walk in it, you know. You got to walk in the newness of life. That's what about all these epistles are written about the crucifying of the flesh. The natural man, he'll always drag you into left field, and then the devil, we have three in him. The flesh, that's the desire to go out there and indulge the world, the flesh, and the devil. Mm-hmm. And the devil, he knows where you're weak, and he uses your weakness to his advantage. See if he can't take you out into left field, and then after a while, if you don't put the curbs on, put the brakes on, then he'll continue to take you further and further out into oblivion. That's just the nature of the beast. That's just the way it is. That's why it's important to go before the Lord. Examine yourself to see if your standing is okay between you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then when everything is closed, you got no animosity towards anybody. Just because we say these things about these unrepentant, that doesn't mean we hold it against them. It's just that they're caught up in a religiology. They're blinded by Satan. Like exactly what it said, the God of this world has blinded their heart and their understanding. They cannot see the glorious light of the gospel. And then the devil, what he does, he gives them this religion, this outright religion. I really don't know anymore what they do believe. If you ask what they do believe, I don't think they could tell you anything, because we've had these preachers come through here, and when they talk about heavenly things, they're completely oblivious. They don't even know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. And just because they have never been. All they got is religion.
All they got is the same old.
And, we can't talk to them about heavenly things because the Bible says so. How can God have fellowship with Belial? You know, how can you fellowship with Darby? You and I, we got fellowship. We got exactly true gemeinschaft. And the English word, it says fellowship. You and I have genuine, real fellowship. Mm-hmm. And the people that want to come in, they want to partake of it, but they don't want to do nothing, and they can't even admit that they're sinners. They haven't even come to grade one, and we can't associate ourselves with people that don't even know what they believe. See, we believe the message of Brother Branham, and if you come here and you don't have that with you, we can't have fellowship with you. Just that simple. You gotta settle that score between you and the Lord. First of all, what we're doing here, we're telling people the truth about the end time. We're telling people God sent the prophet. But if you're not even interested in it, and we can't persuade you into it, how can we have fellowship with you?
Right.
You and I, we believe the same thing. We have fellowship in every aspect of society. A fellowship of goods. You go to the store, I'll pay for it, and you'll pay for it. It's all one basket, you know. Just the way it is. That's what the early church had. They had fellowship, spiritual fellowship. They were all of the same faith, all of the same mind, and nobody had any lack.
Mm-hmm.
And see, then the devil comes in and he takes that away, because Paul warns about how these antichrists came in to spy them out, so the freedom that they had and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the devil sends in his antichrist to disrupt the nest, to make sure everybody is miserable.
Yeah,
that's the same game. That's why we keep the door closed to these Tux didn't want to come in. You can come in, but you're not going to get any footing here because we know exactly what your game plan is. You want to try to drift us back into the compound. Well, there's nothing in that compound for us. We would lose everything that you ever fought for because we know that Satan is there, that the devil run that show, these religions, the churches out there. He has infiltrated every aspect of society because the Bible says so. And we see it with our own eyes. Now, you cannot even talk to anybody because they've saturated themselves with religiology. You go to the gospel hallers, they're about the worst of the worst, these gospel hallers. Not one of them will tell you anything about God sending a prophet. That's why I keep saying it over and over again. It's what they don't tell you. That's what's so deceptive about these religions out there. Mm-hmm. The devil will make sure that you never find out the truth about Laodicea. Not one of them. I go on the YouTube, I talk to people, and not one of them. When you mention Brother Brennan sending it from, they always think it's a sin. Mm-hmm. It's an abomination to even talk about it. Yeah. But see, we've found out what God was doing here. And the action tried to raise it. He said, mm-hmm. He did exactly what he said he's going to do. I'm going to send you seven angels. Before he went to the crucifixion, he said, that's eternal life. Now, I got to put my trust in the Word. When Jesus said, before he goes to the crucifixion, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them, I got to pay attention to that because everybody wants eternal life. And then he said, to believe in them whom I will send. And then he sent the apostle, he sent that angel, and then like he keeps saying over and over again, that angel linked up with the vocal cords of the apostle Paul, and then he went down to Iranians, and then he went on to Martin, and then it went on to Colombo. See, these angels, they found a person that God had prepared that he could trust, and then that angel used that specific person to use his vocal cords to continue on with the program. And then here in the Church of Laodicea, he found the vocal cord of Brother Brennan because God, that great eternal spirit, had prepared that vessel for when that angel, when the time will be right, the truth keeps marching on, that angel is going to find the vocal cord of Brother Branham, and then he's going to use him for 40 years. He used him because many times Brother Branham got up to the pulpit, and he would just talk about the weather, and he would say from time to time, you might wonder why I'm just talking about the weather, light talk, and then I have to wait for that angel to show up. Mm-hmm. And then that angel would show up, then he would preach and start preaching. What we hear when we listen to Brother Branham, we hear that angel. Behind the scene is that angel. That's why we don't worship the man, because we recognize who it is. It's God giving, this is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, and that angel then gave it to Brother Branham. And all we're hearing actually what God is saying, true, the vocal cord of Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. For you and I, everything is so simple, because God always had the best interest for us in mind. He sent us Brother Ben, because he has our best interests at heart. He wants what's best for us. And here we just happen to tap into it. We just happen to recognize it. We just happen to believe it. And if you just happen to believe what we're saying here, you're going to have the same glorious future that we have. You're just going to get that invitation to go out to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, in the meantime, all hell is breaking loose down here. Satan is completely let loose, and you're somehow you made your way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's why Jesus had the human race's best interest at heart. But he can't do nothing if people don't believe it. If they put you in the house for telling them the truth. Mm-hmm. That's all our job is. We only have one job description. Here in these closing days of time, to hold on to the things that have been firmly established through these true ministers. 40 years, Brother Brennan preached. 40 years, Brother Jackson preached. To leave us with the truth here in his end time. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. We're just holding up the fort, holding on to the fort, holding on to the things that we've been taught. And then the Lord, great in mercy and rich in mercy, gave us the responsibility to continue on with the program. Mm-hmm. Because when I picked you up, we were driving around about for a month, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I wonder what people are going to say. And the Lord came on the scene. You know very well what they're going to see, but you let me know, without Lorraine, there is no program. You might as well just never have lived. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, because it's the Lord that put this thing together. We're about his business. We're not about what people, a lot of people think we're doing. Because we're not interested in nothing other. We're interested only one thing, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, that we'll have something to talk about.
Just imagine what an empty life person would have. It's always been our desire is to pursue the things of God, you know, and to find out the truth and pursue that. That's why the truth is marching on. God is marching on. And when you will look at all the denominations out there, that's what's wrong with them. They didn't march on with truth. You look at the Lutherans, they just stopped or formed an organization around the just shall live by faith, but they never advanced on from there. That's why when you will look at their belief structure, they still believe in baptizing infants. Mm-hmm. The same way with the Calvinists. They still baptize infants because they never, the truth is marching on. They never moved on with God. And that's what it means. Like they formed an organization. They just stopped right there with that little truth they had and just cut themselves off from God instead of marching on with truth. The Calvinists, they have the predestination. They believe in the elect, but they have taken it out of context because they didn't march on with God and they can't see the full picture of what the faith of the early church was like. That's why it took the ministry of Brother Branham to do that, to take all the truths that God had in throughout from 1500s. The just shall live by faith, justification, and then predestination, and then sanctification, and then the glorification part of the Christian faith. All these things were lost heading into the Dark Ages, and then God restored them, and that's the ministry of Brother Branham. He took those truths that God restored from 1520 when Martin Luther received the just shall live by faith. And then it continued on. The truth was marching on. And he took all those truths and put them together. Because when you will look at the Lutherans, they don't believe what the Methodists believe. And it just stopped right there. But Brother Branham was able to take all the truths and combine them. Just like, that pollinator on a corn, that tassel that grows up, and he's the little pollinator there. On that tassel, there's our little bits of pollen, and then that pollen falls down to the silk of that little corn that would start growing, and it pollinates it, and that corn starts to grow. And in that corn cob are going to be some corn kernels, and it's going to be the exact corn kernel that was the ingredients of it. The exact replica of what fell into the ground that you seed where you planted the seed in the ground. That same seed is going to now grow on that corn cob. That's what happened in the faith of the early church. That corn kernel fell into the ground and it started to produce more corn. And that's the same ingredient you want, like the faith of the early church, and that's what Brother Branham did. He pollinated the corn stalk, and then corn started to grow because he took the ingredients that God restored, those ingredients that the early church had, the fathers, our forefathers, the early church fathers, that faith he took, and he was able to give it to us, present it to us. In his sermons, you can read it, how the just shall live by faith, the justification part, the sanctification, live a holy life, and the glorification part, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's all part of Christianity. Now, if you stop somewhere along the line, you stop moving on with God. The truth cannot march on.
When you're involved, you all went to another synagogue. That's right. That's all these things. I know we talk plain. They almost freak out when we hear us talk, and they think they're going to have a number on it. They even think they can put a curse on us. Because, but see what we're doing. We're just continuing on with the program. They can't touch us because God has a hedge of protection over us because we're standing up for truth. We don't worry what people say, do, or think. Once I saw the truth and the scripture, once I saw how corrupt these preachers are, I just stood up. It was easy for me to step up to the plate and just tell them that, tell them the truth. Of course, at the end of the day, they'll put you in the outs and all that. That's all part of the program. They put John in the Baptist. And then to that prison simply because he told that Herod, and actually it was his wife, he told Herod, what you're doing is not right. You got your brother's wife. It's forbidden to do that. And then she freaked out and she advised Herod he wants his head on the plate. Well, she was actually the driving force behind all that. Herod, he really didn't want to do it, but he was bound because he had promised there. You know the story about that old schmear, but he was in that prison. He got his head chopped off simply because he was standing for truth. He was standing against the corruption. That's all we're doing.
That's
if
right.
They would have killed us 100 times over already, and they wouldn't even think they would have thought they're doing out of service. They're doing everything they can to us that the law of the land allows it. But that's all part of the program. We've settled that in our hearts. That's the way it's going to be. And we don't want to go, think we can go into heaven on a bed of roses and a bed of ease. Well, I just fought them with the pride that sailed through bloody seas. Mm-hmm. Look what they've gone through. When we read about the history books and the Fox's Book of Martyrs, what these people had to go through. And here we think we can just go on and not say nothing and just not do our duty, not speak up when the time comes to speak up. Well, as long as we got life and breath, we're going to speak up again. These religiologists, we know we had a man come to our, I keep repeating it, and that's all the agony. I woke up many a night for 15 years. That picture was before my eyes. And the day came when the Lord saw my concern, and he moved on me to go up and bell that cat and just say it the way it needs to be said. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they'll throw you out. The first thing they did, my father-in-law stood there, you got till tomorrow to recant. If you don't recant and apologize for all the things you've said, you're out of here. You got nothing. Well, I said, you'll do what the Lord allows you to do. If the Lord allows it, then so be it. But in the meantime, I'm going to continue to speak for the Lord. That's what we're doing to this day. Except one more thing, we get a lot more truth now than we had back then. Now I can tell you right out, because I didn't know that till last week, it's the things that they don't see that's what's so deceptive. Now we can add on to that, and we can just say, it's what they don't see. Yeah, they could preach out there for 2 hours, and it's all true. But it's what they don't see, what they don't tell you, that God sent the prophet. Not one of them will tell you that God sent the prophet here in these closing days of time, and then we tell the people the truth. Well, they, I'll take it or leave it. At the end of the day, it's still going to be true. Truth never stops. Truth just keeps marching on. Whether you come on board or not, that's your business. We just put it out there. For whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever hear it, let them say come. It's a very simple program. And actually, we got it easy compared to what a lot of people had to go through. When you look back and you read history, what these people had to go through, burned at the stakes and cut off. And here, the Lord gives us an electric car. If you never drove an electric car, you don't know what driving is. It's just punch in your destination, takes you automatically right to your destination. You don't even have to drive it. All these luxuries, spiritual things the Lord has given us simply because he's got to fulfill scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That his righteousness is and has always been the message for you today. And once we saw that, we immerse ourselves in it. We saturated ourselves in it. And we believe it wholeheartedly. That's why God can't deny himself. He said he'll add all these things, press down, shake it together, running over. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the natural thing. But yet, he adds the natural thing, everything that you need for daily living, and then some. Push down, running over, press it together, running over. That's the way our life has been ever since we found the ministry of Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That's right, the truth for our day. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to give you thanks for Calvary, Lord, for that beautiful hill of Calvary, Lord, where all things were made possible, Lord, where we were once again reconciled with you, our Heavenly Father, and you reconciled us by the blood of your Son, the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and those who by faith believe it are justified by faith, and then you can make a way for them, and people can be washed and cleansed from their sins, Lord, if they repent. And that's what it's all about, to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it for us at Calvary, Lord. And we just want to let people know that it's all about Jesus, Lord, and about marching on with God with the truth for your day and hour. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.